Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. I always start my program by saying you have a good week walking with the Lord. It's important in our life that we walk with Jesus. You know, when disciples were on earth, they walked with Jesus every day. They saw what he did, they heard his teachings, and their lives were changed. And we walk with Jesus every day too by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is not just in church. Jesus is with us every day. He wants to talk with us every day. He wants us to talk with him. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to show his power in our life. He wants to help us in our need. So Jesus needs to become your best friend by the Holy Spirit in your life. I just encourage you to have a good day when you walk with Jesus, because Jesus helps you solve your problems. He helps you overcome your problems that you have in life. Make Jesus the center of your life. Today I want to talk about our future in Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we are so troubled by all the problems we face now, we don't think about the future that we have in Jesus Christ. Jesus lives with us today, but he also has a future for us. And that's what I want to talk about today. And I want to begin by looking at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. And I would encourage you to get a piece of paper and write these scriptures down so you can look at them later. But it's 1 John 3, 2 and 3. It says, "Beloved, now are you the children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, as Jesus is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure." So he starts out saying, "Beloved, now we are the children of God." So he's talking to Christians, talking to people who are children of God. You become a child of God by being born again. 1 John 3, 1 through 3, Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You must be born of the Holy Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. See, when you were born the first time, you were born to your natural parents, and you resembled your natural parents. But when you're born again, you become a child of God, and you begin to resemble God. See, as you walk with Jesus, you become more and more like Jesus. If you walk with the world, you become more like the world. And our future is not in the world. The world is going to come to an end. Our future is in Jesus Christ. And so that future begins by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and being born again. So if you've not done that, you need to confess your sins before God, accept Jesus as your Savior. You need to give your life to him and become his child. And now you begin to walk with him each day. You begin to go to church, you begin to pray and talk with him. Not just praying in church, but praying at home. You worship him. You pray with him when you're walking on the road. You talk with him about things on the road because you become your his child. And 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." See, when you're in Christ, when you're born again and you're in Christ, you're a new person. You're not the same person you were before. You're a different person. You're now a child of God, and you need to recognize that you are a child of God. So John here in 1 John 3, 2 starts off by saying, "Beloved, now we are children of God." So he's speaking to us who have been born again, who are now children of God. We are walking with God. We are serving God with our lives. "Now you are children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we will be." In other words, there is a change that's coming. The first change happens that we're born again, but we're going to look at the second change that happens. But we know that when he, Jesus, is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And so Jesus is coming back again. We were born the first time, but Jesus is coming back again. And when he is, there's going to be a change that happens in us when he comes back again to establish his kingdom. And we see that Jesus talks about that in John chapter 24, about when he comes back again. And in John chapter 24, Jesus is talking about the end times, the things that are going to happen at the end, before when he comes back again. And in John 24:36, he's talking about the day that he's going to come back, the day he's going to appear again. And it says, of that day, the day he's come back, the hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. So no one knows exactly when Jesus is coming back. But he says, but as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two of them will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know the hour that your Lord is coming. So Jesus is describing how he's going to come back again. And he says, it's going to be just like in the day of Noah. Now, God told Noah to build an ark of salvation for his family and for anybody else that wanted to come into the ark. Now, Noah built this very big boat called the ark. It was huge. They brought all the animals into the ark, and Noah and his family entered the ark to save them from the flood. And they built the ark on a mountain. They didn't build it down by a river or by the ocean. They built it on a mountain. It was such a huge ark. It was like a big three-story building. It was huge. And so it could not be moved. And so Noah kept telling the people, and it took Noah almost 100 years to build the ark. Noah kept telling people there was a flood coming. People laughed at him. How is a flood going to come up to the top of the mountain and pick up this very big, huge boat? How is that going to happen? People didn't believe. And so people were just living ordinary lives, getting married, having children, eating and drinking, and just living life. And Noah finished the ark, but people didn't enter the ark because almost 100 years had come by, a flood hadn't come, people were not believing the flood was coming, and then one day the flood came. And when the flood came, Noah and his family entered the ark, they took the animals into the ark, and it says God closed the door of the ark, and everyone that was not in the ark died in the flood. And he said it's going to be the same way when Jesus comes back again. Life is going to be going as normal, people are going to be going to work, people are going to be working in their shamba. People are going to be getting married. People are going to have children. People are going to be building houses. All these things that we're doing now are happening, and Jesus is going to come back. And no one knows when he's going to come back again. He's going to come back, and it's going to be a very big surprise. But we need to be aware that he's coming back. We need to prepare for his return and be looking for his return. A lot of people say, well, no, 2,000 years, Jesus hasn't come back. No, but every day we need to be ready for the coming of Jesus. And he's going to come anytime. No one knows the day they are, but he's going to come back. And it says when he comes back, he said that two men will be working in the field. One will be taken and the other left behind. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left behind. So we will just be working together. Christians will be working with non-Christians, people who are born again, children of God. This is Peter's talking to children of God. Children of God will be working in the world, doing their job and other thing. And then one day, Christians are just going to disappear from the earth. A Christian will be driving his car, and suddenly he will disappear, and the car will just crash. A Christian may be flying an airplane, and suddenly he will disappear, and the plane will just crash. Millions of Christians are just going to disappear off the earth. That's what Jesus said. Two men will be working in the field. One will disappear, and the other will be left behind. Two men will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and the other will be left behind. So he says there, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour the Lord is coming. And so we see that when Jesus appears, that Christians are going to disappear from the earth. It's going to be an amazing thing. A lot of confusion in the earth because all these people are just going to disappear. And Paul talks about this in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. Paul says, for the Lord himself, This is Jesus. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So Paul says, is talking about the same thing Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24. He said, when Jesus comes, he'll come with a big shout, with the voice of an angel and a trumpet. And he said that those who have died in Christ, all the people who are born again Christians who have died, they will be raised from the dead. Everybody, even back Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all those people will rise from the dead. Every Christian that has been born again since the time of Jesus' resurrection until today, millions and millions of dead Christians will rise from their grave and go up into the air. And then it says, those who are still alive and remain will be caught up together with those people in the air, and we'll be with the Lord. So it's going to be amazing things that's going to happen. This is the future we have in Jesus Christ. Everyone who is not a born-again Christian, who has given their lives to God, they're going to be left behind. But we as Christians, we're going to be taken up in the air to be with the Lord. And it'll happen in a moment. Paul talks about it again in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54. He says, Paul says, Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And sleeping is referring to dying, those who die. They call it sleep. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all, he's saying, we shall not all die, but we shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So Paul there is saying that when the trump sounds, the dead are going to be raised, and we're going to raise up, and we're going to put off the incorruptible, put off the corruptible and put on the incorruptible. What is he talking about? We're going to put off our old bodies and get a new body. See, the body we have now is not going to go to heaven, even those who are alive. So when the trumpet sounds and the shout comes from heaven, Jesus comes down. He's not going to stay on there. He's just going to come down to heaven, and the dead will come out of their grave. And we will, who are still alive in Christ, will rise up with them, and we will get new bodies, because our old bodies are corruptible. Our old bodies rot. They have sickness and disease and problems. We're going to receive brand new bodies. Say, what will those bodies be like? Those bodies will be like the body Jesus had when he rose from the dead. See, when Jesus rose from the dead, if you remember, the disciples were in a room, in the upper room, and they had locked all the windows and doors because they were afraid of the Jews arresting them and killing them. So they locked all the windows and doors in the room, and they were praying, and suddenly Jesus appeared in their midst. Jesus did not walk through a door. He just appeared, and they were afraid. They thought he was some kind of spirit or something. But he said, no, I'm not a spirit. I'm flesh and blood. Come and feel me. So they could feel his hands, feel his arms. They could see the nail prints in his hand. He told Thomas, put your hand in my side, so they could feel him. He was not a ghost. He was not a spirit. He was a person. And he said, give me some fish to eat. So he ate some fish so he could eat. So he was not a spirit. He could eat. And then when he finished talking to them, he would disappear. And he appeared like that many times after his resurrection. He appeared by the Lake of Galilee when they were fishing, just appeared and started talking. One day, two men were walking on a road to a town called Emmaus, and Jesus suddenly joined them in a body. He was talking with them. Later, he ate with them. See, so that is a new body we're going to receive. It's going to be a body that you can feel. We're not going to be spirits up in heaven. We're going to be bodies. Now, those who have died, this is when the resurrection happened. Those who have died, they don't have their new bodies yet. Their spirits are in heaven with God, but their bodies are not. Their bodies are in the grave. But it says when the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes back, the dead will rise and they'll receive new bodies, and we who are in Christ will rise. Now, the people who are lost and don't have Christ will not rise. We saw in Matthew 24, two men will be working in the field, one will be taken, the other left behind. Two women grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left behind. So those who are not Christians, not believers, not born again, children of God, they're going to be left behind. But we're going to get caught up in the air. The dead in Christ, those who have died in Christ, those who are going to come out, and we're going to get out and we're going to get brand new bodies, just like Jesus did. Bodies that don't have sickness or disease, bodies that aren't weak, but brand new bodies that are supernatural bodies. But there will be bodies that you can feel, bodies just like Christ. And we're going to be raised up in the air with Jesus Christ. Millions of us all over the world. It's going to be the most amazing thing that happens in the history of the world. Nothing like this has ever happened in the history of the world. Millions of people rising from the dead. Millions of people just disappearing from the earth for one time. From all over the world, from every nation. All Christians will just disappear. This is our future. But we need to prepare ourselves for the future. Jesus says it's just going to be like ordinary day. People will be doing ordinary things. But suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, the dead will rise, we will rise, and receive new bodies. And so we need to prepare for that. We prepare that, first of all, by being born again, by having our lives change. You know, we need to allow God to prepare us for his return. What are we doing today? As believers, as children of God, we are growing and preparing ourselves for the return of Christ. We are a new creation. Now, I am a child of God. My future is secure. I have a very great future with Jesus Christ because I'm a child of God today. See, I'm not a child of the world. I am a child of God. So I walk with God because I'm becoming more and more like him. See, we are being changed. We are being transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled faces, this is 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being changed or transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. So he's saying, as we with unveiled face, you know, a veil covers someone's face so people can't see who you are. He says, with unveiled faces, we look at the glory of God. The glory of God is God's character and nature. God is loving, kind, gentle, patient. He's full of joy and peace. That is God's nature. And so we look at Jesus Christ. We look at God. And as we look to Jesus, we are changed. You see, when you focus on Jesus, you're changed. You see, what you focus on is what you become. See, if you focus on the world, focus means to look at something. If you focus on the world, you'll be like the world. But if you focus on Jesus, you become like Jesus. If you think about Jesus, you become like Jesus. How do you become like Jesus? You look at the Word of God. You look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the life of Christ. You look at the book of Acts. You begin to learn how Jesus walked. And as you look to Jesus and talk with him and live life with him, you begin to become more and more like Jesus Christ. The longer I walk with Jesus, the more I think like Jesus, the more I talk like Jesus, the more I act like Jesus. It doesn't mean I'm good. I'm not obeying a bunch of laws. No, I'm imitating my Father, Jesus Christ. And I remember when my son was just a small boy learning to walk. He loved to imitate me. And he would walk the way I walked, and he would do things the same way. And he tried to talk like me. He tried to do everything I do. He tried to be a little Andrew Clark. His name was Kevin Clark. He tried to be like me because I was his father. He imitated me. We are imitators of Jesus Christ. And as we focus on him, we are being changed from glory to glory into his character by the Spirit of God. So as you focus on Jesus, not on the world, focus on Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to change you. You become more and more like Jesus. You're filled with joy all the time. You're filled with peace all the time. You're filled with love for all people. You begin to walk in his power. You see, because you slowly become more and more like Jesus Christ. See, we are preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. See, if you live in the world, you're not going to be prepared for the return of Christ. You'll be left behind when your friends will be taken away. We need to prepare ourselves. In Ephesians 5:1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God, dear children. Imitate God. Imitate Jesus Christ. Do the things Jesus did. Love people like Jesus loved people. And so we're in a changing process. God is preparing us for his return. We don't know when his return is going to happen, but we need to prepare ourselves for his return. You can't just live in the world and expect that when Jesus comes back, you're going to be ready to go up. You might be left behind. In Romans 8:13-17, Paul talks about how we can prepare ourselves. Romans 8:13-17 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. So you can't live according, the flesh lives according to the world. It's your bodily desires. Your body desires the things of the world. If you live according to the flesh or your bodily desires, you will die. Paul is writing Christians. These are people who say they've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but they're still living according to the world. And Paul is telling Christians, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We don't live like the world anymore. We all face temptation to do what is wrong. But the Holy Spirit will help us overcome. We need to resist those sins. We need to resist those temptations. Because sin separates us from God. And we don't want to be separated from God. See, those who are left behind, those who are not taken up, they're going to suffer on the earth. God's going to, after he's taken his church up, his believers, the body of Christ, those who have been born again, have been caught up in the air, God's going to pour out his judgment on the earth. You read that in Revelation. In Revelation it says, one-third of the stars in heaven are going to fall on the earth. And just burn, one-third of the earth is going to be burned up by fire. One-third of the ocean is going to turn into blood. God's going to pour his judgment on the earth after he's taken his believers out, after he's taken his children out. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. And so he says, by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh. So when I'm tempted, I say, Holy Spirit, help me not to do that. And the Holy Spirit helps me overcome my temptation. And every time I overcome the temptation, I get stronger and stronger. And I become more and more like Jesus Christ. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. So if you're a child of God, you're being led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. What's leading you today? Is the Spirit of God leading you, or is the flesh leading you? If the flesh is leading you, desires of the world and temptation of the world is leading you, you are of the world, and you will die. Doesn't make any difference if you go to church. Church doesn't save you. Church helps you to walk according to the will of God. See, God is looking for people today that walk according to his Spirit, that walk according to his word, that are imitators of Jesus Christ, that are walking like him and talking like him. See, God is coming back for a powerful church, people who are walking with Jesus and preparing themselves to go up with him. So he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry out, Abba, Father. See, we cry out to God. God is our Father. See, my little son comes to me. When my son was small, he would come to me. Anytime he had a problem, he would come to me. He loved to spend time with me. I have a grandson now who's 4 months old. I love that boy. Every time my grandson, his name is Cain, every time he looks at me, he smiles. He loves me. He loves to hear my voice. He loves to spend time with me. See, we are children of God. We want to spend time with God, not just on Sunday. We want to spend time with God every day. Said, so we cry out to God, Abba, Father. He's our Father. And says, and the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So I know I'm a child of God, not because I go to church or I do good works. I'm a child of God because the Spirit lives inside of me, and the Spirit is leading me, the Spirit is helping me, the Spirit is guiding me, and I'm walking according to the will of God and in God's ways. So the Spirit himself bears with our spirit that we are children of God. and if children and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, if we indeed suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. So we're going through a time of suffering now, but God wants to prepare us for the return of Jesus Christ. I believe it, I'm going to see the return of Christ. As we see things grow more and more wicked in the earth today, we are coming closer and closer to the return of Christ. One day that trumpet is going to sound. One day Jesus is going to appear in the sky, and I'm going to be ready to be lifted up with him. I'm going to be prepared. I'm not going to be like all the other people just doing. See, Christians, a lot of times people think that they can just do what they want, and God is loving and gracious. But when Jesus comes back, if you're not walking with him, you're going to be left behind. That's what the Bible says. And so we are heirs of Christ and joint. We come into our inheritance by walking with Jesus and living for Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, it says, "For our light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So he says, yeah, we're going through afflictions now. We're going through problems now. But those problems are preparing us for the return of Christ. Those problems should be making us stronger. See, if you have a problem and you allow the Holy Spirit to help you over that problem, you're going to get stronger and stronger in Jesus Christ. He said, because we don't look at the things which are temporary, all the things of the world that are temporary, but we look at things which are eternal. The kingdom of God is eternal. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ. My focus is on Jesus Christ. My focus is on what God has provided for me. See, we are coming into a day and age where God is pouring out his Spirit all over the world because God wants to prepare his people and his church for the return of his Son. Jesus can come back any day now. So I would just encourage you today, if you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, you need to give your life to Christ. You need to be born again and become a child of God. If you're a child of God today, you need to start walking with God. You need to start serving God, not the world. You need to run after God, pursue God and everything he has for you, because we have a great hope and future in Jesus Christ. Lord God, I just pray for every person. Listen to the voice of hope today, Lord God. If they're not a believer, if they're not a Christian, if they haven't become a child of God, I pray that they will give their lives to you today and begin to walk with you. I pray that every Christian that's listening to my voice will not walk according to the world, will not walk according to the flesh, but will walk according to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Lord, I just pray that you'll pour out your Spirit on your people, Lord God. May they begin to walk in your love and your joy and your peace and your power, Lord God. Lord, help us to prepare ourselves so when you come back, we are ready to be caught up into the air and change and receive our new body. Lord, we thank you for the hope and future we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I just encourage you today to listen to Voice of Hope every Sunday. If you miss a program or you want your friend to listen to one of my programs, I post them all on my website, thevoiceofhopetoday.org, thevoiceofhopetoday.org. And you can listen to all my radio programs and find them on my website. God bless you. Have a good week. And I trust to talk to you next Sunday on The Voice of Hope. God bless. Bye-bye.